This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, it's spring out. You do know that.
Oh, yes. Yes. And the countdown is on to Easter, because I see all the Easter
That's
candy.
That's right, the countdown.
Oh, makes me happy.
I knew it would. Well, you know, I saw something on television about this dog that won this prize, and they're going to make him the Cadbury Bunny representative or something.
Really?
Something about, about Easter. And I go, how can a dog represent him? But I wasn't sure what they were talking about. And I didn't have time to really check it. Like usually, you know, I'll check a story out like that. But they were talking about that he had won this prize, looked like.
Really?
And they were going to make him the representative. I said, how can a dog be a representative for a bunny?
Huh. Well, I heard something about that, but I thought it was fake, so I just kind of ignored it. I didn't realize it was like an actual
well,
thing.
Well, I think it was real. Yes.
Wow.
Well, now let me tell you about my house. We had a skunk come over.
No.
He's on the other side of the fence. Max is out there barking at him. But we videotaped it, and Max is wagging his tail while he's barking. So, you know, he's not upset with the skunk. The skunk is so brave. He comes under the fence, and they chase each other around this bush, round and round. And then the skunk gets tired of the game, and he leaves.
Really?
It's very simple. I've laughed about this all week. I mean, the skunk just wanted to come play with him. And, you know, he knew he wasn't going to hurt him, so the skunk goes back under the hill. But this time, the neighbor's big white dog, Great Pyrenees, he shows up to see about what's going on. And so he's giving the skunk a little bit of trouble, and the skunk just very quietly walks down the driveway between them and leaves. Didn't say anything, doesn't spray him, he just leaves.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they could have both been sprayed, and we'd be washing on them for a week.
Oh,
but,
Lord.
But this little skunk was very friendly, and he wasn't afraid of dogs. He just said, I'm going to come on over. And we'll play together, and they chased each other around that tree. Thank goodness Max wasn't catching him. And then he left. Just went back.
He just got tired of the game.
I thought all skunks. Yeah, I thought a skunk would spray you if they got scared.
Yeah.
And this one wasn't even scared of dogs.
Maybe
I don't know why.
He's done that before, evidently.
Or maybe he was so young that to him it really was a game.
Oh,
it wasn't anything serious.
Yeah,
to him.
It wasn't like a threat. It was, it was like literally, it was like playtime.
Yeah, and apparently, he figured out if this dog had his tail wagging, they wasn't gonna hurt him.
Yeah. Well, I know you say that
Max
plays
barking
well.
And wagging his tail.
Yeah, so he was happy. He wasn't like threatening or anything.
No.
But I know he plays well at daycare.
He does. He goes to daycare. He loves the other puppies. And I know we went to get him the other day, and they said, oh, this other little dog right there, that's his friend. And we said, oh, okay. Yeah, Max has a lot of really good friends at daycare, and he loves to play with them. And he runs all day. When we go to pick him up, he's just exhausted.
Yeah.
He just lays down on the floor, yeah. So apparently it is good for puppies. They get lots of exercise, and they learn, you know, to play with other puppies.
And apparently other skunks, too.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what else he would play with, but apparently he does play with skunks.
That's just a weird thing to say.
It is. I know it is weird. But we did videotape that. I mean, because I didn't know if anybody would believe that story.
Yeah.
You know, about him playing with a skunk. But when I saw it on video, you know, and he's wagging his tail and barking. I said, well, that skunk knew that that puppy wasn't going to hurt him.
You know? Fortunately, otherwise that could have gone real bad, real fast.
It could have gone real bad. And if he'd grabbed a hold of that skunk would have sprayed him so much we wouldn't be able to get that smell off for a week or two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like you say, it's a good thing Max didn't catch him or else that game
That's
would
right.
be over.
That's a good thing. And he was just too fast. You wouldn't think a little skunk could be that fast, but he was.
Wow. Boy. And then the neighbor's dog got in the action and wanted to see what was going on and participate as well.
Yeah, he participated, and he was barking at him, but apparently this little skunk didn't believe either one of them. he came to play, and it, you know, but no big deal.
And they got tired and took off.
Got tired and he left the scene. But I never had seen anything like that, so I did film it.
Boy.
Because I said, you know, I've never seen anything like that. Man. I mean, usually these two separate animals would never engage in one another.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, no. You could put that on YouTube and get tons of views. That'd be funny.
Because usually, a little skunk would run for his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one did not run for his life. He just didn't think it was that big a deal.
Oh, wow. It is always an adventure in your world, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you know, with little children and Max and the llamas, there is something happening every day of my life. If nothing's happening, you better look out.
Yeah, there's something wrong
going on. There's something wrong.
All these things need to go in your memoirs because you have to put together some kind of a book about all these stories. You could literally do like a reality show with a film crew at the house just following you around all day, and people would think it was some kind of made up comedy, but it's all
real.
That's
right. Nobody would believe it. It'd be so unbelievable, you know.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And you have tons of information over there. I was just looking at it earlier, reading some of the testimonials and things like that. You really do have a bunch of information. So it's a research tool that a lot of people really do like. You get a lot of feedback from people, especially new investors.
We do. Talking about policies and investors, we have another one that's gotten to the bank, another maturity. We also had a maturity this week. And I think there was three people, and it's a small policy. But they're going to be paid very shortly, and that was nice. And then, you know how everybody loves pancreatic cancer policies. We're bidding on one. We will know Monday morning if we got it, but it's a $750,000 pancreatic cancer. And as you know, we've done very well over the years, and usually everybody wants in. If it's pancreatic cancer, there's never a no. Everybody wants those because everyone we've done is coming early. We've never had a pancreatic cancer go over. So that's a good thing. So, and we've got three other policies we're bidding on. We should know first of the week if we got those. We won one, $1 million one. We'll be putting that out to clients very soon. But we've got three more that really look good. And as I said, two of them have a 20-year payment guaranteed that's very, very small. And then we've got, I think it's $543 a year for 20 years. And another one is $1,400 a year for 30 years. So those two look really good to me. The others, I don't know exactly what the premium is, but it's low on pancreatic cancer. So we're going to excited about them. We're excited to bring them to people and to get them in those. And then all these people that have had all these maturities lately, we'll be going to them for them to invest in these new policies.
These things, you're talking about these policies that have these guaranteed really low premiums guaranteed for long periods of time. Is that a new thing or has that always been happening or is it just a couple of?
No, we have not been lucky enough to have some. that was guaranteed for 30 and for 20. That tells you these are a lot younger people. I think one of them is 37 years old.
Ooh.
So their premiums are very, very low. They haven't had the policies very long. I think this guy bought his policy when he was 30. So they've got a long way to go, which is really good. Because lots of times we'll buy a policy and they have 5 years left on the term, and then it has to be converted to, you know, to a whole life policy. So that is a good thing for us.
Wow.
And these, as I said, these are really good policies that we've only turned one down this week, and it had too high a premium.
Wow.
But the others have got good premiums. They're short term. I think they'll be good policies for the clients, and I think they'll do well on them.
Are there a lot of young policies that you've come across before? Because it's what it sounds like is the low premiums are really kind of dependent on the age of the policyholder. Is it like one of these things where it's like, well, geez, maybe we should look for, you know, younger policies or kind of keep our eye or out for these or pay more attention or put these on the radar or something like that? Or is it just kind of like coincidence?
It is a coincidence. Because we take what we get. In other words, when they send it, we look at it. We look at the age. We look at the premium. We look at if stage four, how it's going, how much medical information is available, if they were at Sloan Kettering, if they were in Houston at MD Anderson, what hospitals have they been to, if they're on oxycodone for pain. You know, it's pretty severe. And we just read everything they tell us, you know, about the treatment. And on this pancreatic cancer, I saw that he was on oxycodone and other things for pain. And, you know, there was a guy last week that it was in the news. His back had hurt for a year. And when he finally found out it was cancer, it was way too late. I mean, nobody could have even bought his policy. He was dead in 30 days.
Wow.
So lots of times people don't know, you know, that they have it. And by the time they found out, not only is it incurable, but the death is just right around the corner. I hate to say that. So the ones that we get, most of the time they've got plenty of time left. Sometimes they say, no, we're not going to sell it to you because they've only got a month or two to live. And you don't, I don't blame them for that. The family gets the money that way, and that's fine, too. But when we buy these policies, as you know, they get their money then for treatment or whatever they need. And most of them, they're trying to beat the clock. They want the best treatment they can get for the money. So, you know, they go ahead and they sell their policy, and they go immediately into the best treatment they can get. So that means the big hospitals and the big money. Because as I've talked about, it's $100,000 a month for cancer treatment, and some of the medicine is $25,000-$30,000 a pop. Cancer medication is not cheap.
No, it's not. Man, I mean, all those drugs are really, really expensive. All these things are really, really expensive. $100,000 a month.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot. Didn't you say at one point that medical is the biggest reason that people file bankruptcy or the things that will cripple people financially?
That's right. You can look it up. The number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical.
Jeez.
Is the medical bills just got so high that it took everything they had and they had to declare bankruptcy to survive. Because if you've got someone that's got cancer, they can't work, they're really, really sick, and you're not working either because you're taking care of the other person, you know, it's overwhelming. It can do you under. So that's why lots of times they say, well, you know, I'm taking care of my husband. I can't work. He's not working. And we need all this medical. And so that's why they sell their policy to get some quick cash.
Man, You don't always realize it. We've worked with some people before who have gone through things like this. It turns out we worked with a couple of people that the husband was diagnosed with cancer, and then the wife was diagnosed with cancer at the same time. And so she was trying to, you know, juggle her career and still do her own treatments and still be there to support her husband. And so it really creates, you know, scenarios that people don't always, you know, realize how devastating it can be. And yeah, you do get kind of backed into corner. It's like, my gosh, we need a big lump of cash real quick. And selling your policy is really the fastest way to do it. So, I mean, that
is the quickest asset you've got that can be turned into cash.
Yeah.
And lots of times people still owe on their house. And so, you know, they've got other burdens that they're trying to overcome while they're fighting this disease. So it affects the whole family. Lots of times they still have small children, as you know. And if a mother gets cancer, you know, it's really bad. And, you know, we were reading this week about this lady that had uterine cancer. And, you know, it's deadly. And, you know, she lasted like 30 days.
Jeez.
And when you have children and you have all this burden, it, you know, it is tough. So, you know, we understand why they want to sell their policy. We want to buy the policy. We're helping someone every day when we buy their policy to give them that cash that they need for treatment. And, you know, sometimes they last a long time, and sometimes it's very short. And we're trying to buy the best policies that we can, the shortest ones we can, you know, and a low premium where that we can make money for the clients. That's what we're here for, is we represent the clients. We're trying to make them money and keep their money safe where they'll still be doing business with us another 10 years. I don't want to be like Jimmy Dean and all these other people that are advertising after they're dead. You know, you notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all doing it now. They have been dead 10 years, and they advertise every day, you know? I mean, there's so many of them advertising now, I'm just going, wow, my gosh.
Wow.
But maybe I can come back. I mean, if I can come back and do a good job, it'll be fine.
Boy, I never, when I got up this morning, I did not think that you'd be able to bring the sausage guy into our conversation, but you did.
You didn't know he was coming, did you?
I didn't see that coming.
Well,
wow.
And in Nashville, there's a pastor that's been dead more than 10 years. He's a great pastor. But every once in a while, I'll turn on television, and there he is to talk to me. And he's been dead over 10 years. I mean, you know?
Oh, wow. Man, now if only Elvis would come back and make a new album or something, that would be great.
I know. And the other day, my phone, we'd put this new security stuff on my phone, and I called the office, and Tina, my secretary, said, "Faye, do you know how that came in?" I said, "It should have came in Faye Bagby or something, American Financial, whatever." She said, "It came in to bug." And I said, "Oh, my gosh, my husband's come back." That's what my nickname was. I said, "Oh, my gosh, Ralphie's come back."
Oh, wow.
You know, he's on my phone. Oh, my gosh. Everybody fell out laughing. They couldn't believe I said that. But, you know, what would you think if nobody knew that nickname and
yeah.
hadn't been used in years? And how could it come in on your phone just like that?
I don't know. That's kind of creepy. That's one of those things that you turn into one of those shows that you see on TV. It's just like, where did this come from? That's kind of weird.
That's right.
That's really weird.
It was weird. And we cleaned it up immediately. we got into the phone and got it reset. And I don't know. Maybe that's what the security company had in there. Maybe that was some lyric, you know, that they had in there.
Yeah, that'd be a weird coincidence if
security.
They did.
It was. It had to be some kind of weird coincidence. But everybody laughed when I said, "Oh my gosh, he's come back."
do you see like lights flickering all the time and like things moving around?
No, we haven't gone that far. We're not over the horizon yet. I mean, it might come any day, but so far, we're holding our own. you know, out here in the country. But, you know, if anything weird's going to happen, it always happens to me, as you know.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I mean, things just happen. That's all there is to it.
If I ever, you know, get up and want to see something weird or something strange or something that I've never seen before, you're the one I'm calling.
That's right. It's always, well, I'm going to tell you how weird things are. The other day, I got a notice from Internal Revenue. They said I had these foreign bank accounts.
Ooh.
And I go, really? Tell me about it. You know, and so we had the CPA immediately send a deal to Internal Revenue and said, you know, all of our accounts are here in the United States. Now, if you know of an account, we'd like to get the money because we don't know about that account. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, give us the money. That's all we want. We want the money. You know, if somebody has set up an account in a foreign country, and put our name on it, just lead us to it. We'll just go get that money. You know, it'd be a heck of a deal. You talk about a windfall.
Yeah.
We'd love a windfall.
Oh, boy.
You know, but, you know, the Internal Revenue is so messed up. You know, I don't understand it. Yep, they said, you've got a foreign bank account.
Oh, how much is in there?
Really?
Be glad to take that.
They didn't tell us.
Oh.
They didn't tell us anything about that.
Wow. See, they left out the good parts.
Said there's a... If they'd have said there's 2 or 3 million there, I'd have been on a plane to the IRS. I'd have said, let's go to the IRS and find this money. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord.
Wouldn't that have been
something? They are messed up there. It would have been something. It would have been a heck of a windfall.
Yeah.
But it would have been my luck. It would have been another currency. And when you got down to it, it was $5.25.
Yeah.
When you convert it, you know, it's $5.25 probably.
Probably it'll be all in rubles or something like that.
Yeah, it'd be in some strange denomination that is not acceptable.
Not acceptable.
Not acceptable. People say, no, we can't take that.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you ever get to the bottom of that, or was that just kind of like where it just kind of
ended? I haven't heard back at all.
Oh.
I've been waiting to hear. I wanted them to tell me what they found out.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Be happy to take
a
check
for that. They're so big. That's right. They're so big, we might not ever hear from them. They might not ever come back and tell us what they found, you know?
Well, if you got a bunch of money someplace else that somebody created for you and they just dropped it, well, then that'd be an awful, that's just a tease. That's mean.
It is. It's just a tease because, you know, we know they hit a wrong button somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it probably somebody else with a similar name. And so they put it on my deal. And now then they haven't even answered us, haven't told us any more about that.
Yeah, that's always a bummer.
Yeah, but it makes it interesting, you know. Every day something new happens.
It does. That's just a regular day in the life of Faye Bagby. The rest of us, not so much.
I guess
you're
right.
Yeah, that's all your thing.
There's always something happening, you know. Keep it interesting. That's what I always say.
Yeah, people ought to hear the things we talk about before the show.
If they ever heard all that, they would be laughing.
Yeah, you live more of an interesting life than people really know.
There you go. I mean, it has to be that way.
That's what keeps
it
you young.
Has to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. So what do you think? I mean, what's happening? I mean, I know there's a lot of what I hear is when you start talking about, you know, all the maturities that are happening. What I'm hearing is that a lot of people are making a lot of money right now. And it's strange because people who aren't, you know, in life like life settlements, they're panicking in some cases that they're losing money left over right over left and all this. And it just seems like, you know, people in life settlements just keep thriving no matter what conditions are facing other people. And I mean, it seems profitable no matter what the market situation is. Is that about right?
Well, you know, the only thing that's not profitable is those old policies. We talk about them all the time.
Yeah.
But on one of them, we still have just a little bit of profit if he dies, if Mr. Denton dies by 2023. We went back, calculated, we've still got some profit in that thing.
Really?
So that's a good thing. But after 23, if he doesn't die by 23, we'll just break even. But we've just got two of those left. If we can get out of them, we're going to be doing good. And we did have one of the older policies, you know, mature. Was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago? That was back during that period when we very first started. So that's a good thing. And then several people, well, I know that one of my clients there in Midland, he's had two maturities in the last month. And that's a good thing. Because, you know, I told on the radio the other day that one guy complained. And then we had, you know, a couple of policies come due of his. And so one of my other good clients called me. This was my professor at the college there. And he called me. He said, "Faye, I didn't know it worked that way." He said, "I'll call you all the time and complain if it'll make my maturities come in faster." Oh, my gosh. So, you know, I have to be careful what I say.
Yeah.
You know? Because when I tell something like that, then they call and they're laughing about it and saying, "Well, we'll get on that bandwagon and do it, too." So, anyway, he hadn't had one in several months. So, I'm hoping that by his call, he'll now have several maturities in the next couple of months.
That's
what we're looking for.
If something matures this week and it comes true, this is going to be a thing. Because you're going to have to tell us next week if it actually worked. And if it does, you realize that that'll be like two now, where people have called and complained about policies not maturing, and then all of a sudden, boom, they do. It's going to be a thing.
I know. Well, I'm hoping it really does happen. I mean, I'm ready for it, because we've had quite a few maturities, but there's still a lot of them that we need to mature. There's a couple of big ones that we're really waiting for, and I know it'll be unexpected, and those two big ones will hit, and I'll probably fall over because they are big and we've been waiting for them to mature, and I know they're going to mature. I just don't know exactly when or how much, but they are big policies. We are waiting for them to mature. There's a lot of people in them, so a lot of people will get paid. And this one says, when we have checked on her, she says she's not doing any more treatment at all. She's just waiting to die. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. We don't know whether to believe her. Anybody from California, you can't always trust them.
Oh, no. Oh, Lord, no.
No.
California,
I mean,
and
know
New Jersey.
They don't always tell the truth. Yeah, and New Jersey. If they're from New Jersey, be very careful, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Those people, they don't play by the rules. Let's put it that way.
No, they don't.
They don't play by the rules. And we do try to play by the rules. So anyway, if those two mature, it'll be a wonderful thing. We are waiting for those, and we know it's going to happen. We just don't know for sure. There may be a lot of other maturities before they mature.
Yeah.
And then they could be next. You never know. But anyway, everything is steady as you go. We're making money for clients. We're having maturities. People are getting paid. Their interest is good. I don't know what else to say about that particular case is that, you know, we're trying to buy the best policies we can. We're trying to make sure that the stage four is really stage four, that it's not in remission, and it can go in remission. But when it does, it always comes back. That's one thing about cancer. You know, they'll say, well, it's in remission. Yeah, and 6 months later, a year, you know, it's going to be back and finish them off. We've done a lot of breast cancer that it was that second go-around when we bought it. They'd already had it once, and it came back. So we bought them on the rebound, and then they did pass away very quickly. So we know that sometimes, like breast cancer, it does go into remission. But most times, breast cancer, they didn't get all those little seeds, and it does come back. Yeah. A few people, I know they tell me, we're cured. But if you don't make it through that five-year deal, it's not cured, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Because we've bought so many of those, and they were young women, and they did die.
And stage four makes all the difference in the world, too. I mean, people recover all the time from stage one and stage two. I mean, they have a really, really good chance to fight it and beat it. But you don't bid on those. You're only bidding on stage four. You brought up the as you put it, those old policies. How long have you actually had those anyway? Was 5 years?
Since we began in business.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, don't you remember? They used to go back to 14.
Oh, geez.
2014.
Oh.
2014.
Wow.
Yes. Now, a guy called me the other day, one of our good clients, and said, Faye, I bought this policy with this other company in 2014. He said, I've been paying premiums several years. He said, what should I do? I said, well, how old is the guy? He said, he just turned 100. I know you're in deep trouble. Oh, my gosh. 100? Now, our old policies, they all died by 94. We didn't have anybody go over 94, I don't think. But 100? That is scary, really scary.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I had a client call that she bought her policies to somebody in Lubbock. Her husband's always had his accounts with us. And her premiums are real high. She didn't invest a lot, like $20,000, $15,000, you know, in each policy. But she's paying premium and has been for quite a while, and they're high. And I told her, I said, well, you've got to figure out if they're going to mature this year, it's worth holding on, that one especially. But I said, the other two, I don't know if it's worth keeping them. You know, if it's going to be more than what your investment is, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what she ended up doing, but I discussed it with her.
What if she doesn't keep them? Can you do that? Can you, what?
You would lose your money, yes.
Oh.
And that's what I told her. I said, is it worth losing the investment to stop paying the premiums, or is it better for you to keep it and see it through and pay the premiums, and then you'll break even. But I said, if you don't have too much premium.
So best case,
so I don't
barely break even. Worst case, lose the entire thing. So there's not a whole lot of...
Yeah, and I imagine she'll just keep them and see it through.
Yeah, wow.
That's probably what she should do, because she's going to have some write-offs, and that'll help her make a little bit, because you can write off, you know, all the premiums that she's paid. And lots of times our people forget to take the premiums off. It is an investment. According to the IRS rules, you can take all your premium off every year. So that helps. It'll offset and give you back some of your profit, because you can take the premiums off. You can write those off.
That's cool.
And for new people, yeah, and for new people coming in, you know, we pay 1% a month according to the contract. If it's 30-month contract, you'll make 30%. If it doesn't go over and you have to pay premiums. If it's 18 months, you'll make 18%. And, you know, it's a life insurance policy. The life insurance company is the one that's going to pay you. It's not us. They pay you. It's paid through Nevada Trust. Everything goes through the trust. They are the trustees on the policy. They represent us and you. And that's why it's a safe investment. We have somebody else always handles the money. We never touch people's money, as you know. The trustee handles it. They do the payout. They pay the premiums when they come due. So it makes it, you know, a streamlined process. And now we're moving out of Bank of Utah. Everything will be at Nevada Trust. You know, we have been paying Nevada Trust $50,000 a year for them to handle this for us. And we're going to move it all over to Nevada Trust. They don't charge near that. And the clients won't have to pay the huge fees they're paying. And a lot of them have said, Faye, why didn't we do this sooner? We couldn't figure out how to get out of it until now. But we are. We ask everybody to get those papers signed, and they have to be original, and get those to us where we can get those into Nevada Trust. So I think there's 60 accounts we're moving.
Oh, wow.
And I think we've got more than half of them done. And a lot of the people are driving over from Odessa. They're driving in from all these other places to get this signed and get it done.
We're
all so excited that we're moving it, yes.
Yeah, no doubt, because it sounds like, you know, just the money that they'll save is well worth, you know, a drive one time and get everything switched over. Wow, that's cool.
That's right, because, you know, they were charging them $350 per account. So if you had an account for your wife and you, You know, it was double that. So everybody's glad that we're moving it because their fee will be a lot less. Oh, and Nevada Trust is not going to charge them anything for opening these accounts for 1 year.
Really?
So there's no fees for a year. Yeah, there'll be no fees for 1 year.
Jeez.
So that's going to help everybody also. Yeah, Nevada Trust is really trying to help us out and get all these accounts set up and make it easy for everybody by not charging them this first year.
Wow. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And you've been doing business with them for a long time, right?
A long, long time. We started out with them. We've been with them all these years.
Wow. That's really, really cool. When do you expect probably all the transitions will be done?
I think it'll be another 2 weeks because there's all kinds of things that have to be done. I forgot how many different papers they have to sign. You know, there's just a lot of things that have to be signed. I think there's three sets of papers that have to be signed to do this.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I bet there's a lot of paperwork. But still, 2 weeks, that's not bad. That's actually pretty
cool. That's right. We've already been working on it 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, everything has to be signed. Bank of Utah has to sign off on every policy. And they're not filling out any of the paperwork. Even though the forms are coming from them, we're having to fill out the forms for them even.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, at least it's in the works, and you're a little over half done. So that's pretty cool. That's really great. That's good
news.
Yeah,
we're really over halfway done, and it'll save everybody money. It'll help us make a little extra money since we're not going to have to pay $50,000 a year. It started out at $75,000.
Jeez.
I mean, you talk about a little bit out of kilter there. They were charging so much. So I'm really glad that we are getting it moved. I'm glad I finally got off my backside and got this done.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of really like the first part of 2022. It's like you've got some a bunch of really cool things in play that really make things a little bit better. Not only between switching over, all the bank stuff, but also like because you've got a doctor that you're working with, and you've got there's a lot of things that have happened in a short amount of time to really kind of make things more accurate, save some money, cut down on some expenses and things like that. So it really seems like 2022 is really kind of off to a really good a really big bang.
Well, I hope so. We hope that we're going to be more efficient, that we'll make people more money, that we'll do it a safer way. I think the changes are great. And we're really watching everything to try to make better policies. We're trying to be very careful about the ones we buy, where that they will get paid sooner, and that there'll be better policies. That's my goal this year.
Yeah. Well, definitely kicking off second quarter with some really good news. That's really awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we're going to do trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
The first airplane to fly in Texas.
Cool. Love airplanes.
Can you imagine when this was?
No.
When the first guy said, I think I can build an airplane. The guy's name was John Poliska.
Hmm.
Okay. He was an immigrant. He was from Austria. He immigrated with his family to the United States in 1897.
Ooh.
And first he settled in Central Texas in a little farming community near LaGrange. He was a blacksmith. But in 1903, he set out for Mexico City. He was going to go to Mexico through Texas and find his fortune. But he was on a train and stopped in Midland, Texas.
Really?
And cool. Yeah, and so he helped a local blacksmith who in turn offered him a job. So he went to work for the guy. He lived in Midland. And in 1905, he became the first person in Midland County to become a naturalized citizen of the United States. First person.
Wow.
In Midland County. And in 1909, he opened his own blacksmith shop. And then he became inspired about airplanes. In 1911, he built this airplane with his bare hands.
I mean, really?
Simple machinery. And he built it in his blacksmith shop. He made it from wood, piano wire, and canvas. And then he discovered that shellacking the canvas would increase the lift by preventing airflow through the canvas. So he was getting more airflow over the wing. His propeller was made of wood, and it was getting chewed up by rocks, debris, and everything. So he used a little piece of tin, and was actually sewing it over the wood blades to prevent prop damage. His little plane, the wingspan was 33 feet, had a height of 7.5 feet, and it was 26 feet. It weighed 750 pounds.
Wow.
This is a small little airplane. And he had a 50 horsepower, 106 motor, and it was built before 1910. It was a four-cylinder, two-cycle motor, which used a mixture of 3 pints of oil to every 5 gallons of gas.
I know this is going to sound really stupid, but is that I wouldn't think that would be enough to make it even fly.
Well, it just barely did. He was flying on his test flights. He was going 1/4 of a mile.
Well,
and
right.
Often he'd have to repair it and it'd go 2 miles. And so in 1911, he flew it for 15 minutes. He actually flew 15 miles and he became a hero. And all these people showed up. He wasn't even sure he was going to get it off the ground. You can imagine. It was put together so crudely. And they got it in the air. He flew it. His wife threw a fit. It was dangerous. It was too dangerous to fly. And so she made him stop flying it.
Aww.
So he never flew it again. Now, this plane to this day is at the Midland National Airport. That's
really?
Where they put it. Yeah, they redid it. His family donated it, I believe, in 1962 to the city of Midland. And but the bad thing was, they were remodeling the airport out there so nobody could even go and see it.
Oh.
Okay? So now everything's been restored out there. And there was a group of dedicated members of the West Texas Aerobotics Club and the Abel Hanger Foundation and the city of Midland. And it now has a new home. It is now suspended above the baggage claim area in the Midland International Airport. Can you imagine?
Really?
Yeah, and so it's out there for everybody to view now. You can see the first airplane built in Texas. Now, during that time, there was also another guy in Houston. He was trying to build a plane and get it to fly. And so what he did, he was watching the other guy to see if he could do it. His name was Robert Fowler, and he landed his Wright Flyer in Midland after the other guy had already did this, after he had already built it, and he was trying to get his to fly. And remember, this is 9 or 10 years after the Wright brothers had invented the airplane and had flown it. So these guys were trying to pick up where the Wright brothers left off. This guy loved flying. Fowler loved flying. There was a lot of people in Texas at this time trying to build airplanes commercially. And old Fowler actually built 10 of these airplanes.
Really?
After he learned how to build his. So they were the first people to fly an airplane. And the first one was flown in Midland, Texas, in 1911. And now it's at the Midland National Airport in the baggage claim area, suspended on the ceiling.
Yeah, I never knew what that was.
Didn't know?
No, I had no idea. Wow. That's cool.
And it's a shame that this man's wife would not let him build airplanes because he would have been famous, an airplane builder. I mean, he had a blacksmith shop. You know, he could weld, he could do stuff besides just, you know, fitting his pieces of wood together like he did, you know, to make it fly. And it didn't fly very far. And the next ones did. Fowler's flew farther. And as I said, Fowler actually built 10 of them. And there was other people at the same time working on airplanes, trying to build an airplane that would fly. So I found it interesting that this guy came over here, became a naturalized citizen, and built his first plane.
Wow. Just to hear you describe how he made it and what he did, you know, even down to like just shellacking, I'm thinking, who even thinks of stuff like that? And I don't need, just without having any kind of degree at all or knowing anything about how anything works as far as airplanes and how they lift and all that, the whole thing fascinates me. But just having no information at all, I'm kind of shocked that it was able to get off the ground at all.
Yeah, he was a blacksmith, and the guy that was helping him was Gary Coggin. He was a chauffeur and an auto mechanic.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah.
So it was the first airplane built, first one to fly in the state. You know, they were going to become rich, and he could have, if his wife had just let him keep building airplanes in addition to being a blacksmith. But she had a panic attack, thought he was going to be killed, thought it was the most dangerous thing she'd ever seen.
I can imagine if just seeing how that thing was put together, I can see that. I can see that perspective. I'd be scared to death myself.
Oh, yeah. If you'd had to fly in this thing, you would have been. Because, you know, part of it, this wood is getting chewed up by rocks,
yeah,
debris. You know, and he put a little piece of tin over it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Then they said, now let's get in and see how far this thing will fly.
It almost sounds like something like MacGyver would make. You know, let's take a turkey baster and some duct tape and chewing gum and let's make an airplane.
Yeah, and most people would have said, no thanks, we're not getting in that thing, you know. You risk your life, we'll stay on the ground here. But they admired the Wright brothers so much, and they knew, you know, and they'd read about how they built it. And so, you know, they said, you know, we're going to do this. And they were so far above their time, you know, before airplanes were really getting started. But then the next guy, he built 10 of them. And I don't know what happened after that.
That's
apparently they had to get better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is fascinating that this guy, this immigrant, built the first plane.
That's amazing. And, you know, we get on planes now and we don't really think anything of it because they've come so far and they're pretty much, you know, I don't imagine they've changed a whole lot as far as like, you know, aeronautics and designs and physics, you know, involved with it and all that. I really don't know. But we get in the plane and we don't think that, you know, they had to start someplace to get to the point where we are now. They had to start with these, you know, crude designs and these, you know, raw materials and test flights. And there was a lot of danger involved when they would, you know, put these things together, the early ones, and test them out. I mean, you're really, really, literally risking your own life. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and a lot of the first people, they weren't engineers.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have any degrees. But, you know, a lot of our really smart people in this country had no degrees. They just had a hunger to build things, and they went in their garage and built a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They were looking for a solution to a problem, put together what knowledge they did know, got together with somebody who knew something maybe they didn't, and kind of collaborated and put something together. It's amazing. Just taking that first step, that's all the time. That's usually the biggest thing. And then once you have something going, you can tweak it and change it and all that. But just to get to that first flight, that first design, it's fascinating. It really is.
But men have always wanted to take to the sky. You realize that? They've always had this desire to look up at the sky, to do all this. Then we had astronauts. I mean, we've come a long way, you know, from these old planes that were just crudely built and barely put together to where we are today. Look at the supersonic jets that they're building now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and space travel, things like that.
Yeah.
Weightlessness for like 4 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. Wow. Would you ever do that? Would you ever go up in space on a space plane?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm for that. I think I'll just send somebody else in my place. Yeah. I'm not doing it. I admire it, though, a great deal. Yes, I do admire it a lot.
Yeah. It seems like it would be really, really cool. The only thing I fear is that getting stuck or like if you can't land or if, you know, whatever happens, if it like loses power and you're like, if you're just floating in space, there could be a problem. You could end up floating, you know, halfway to Mars and then that'd just be terrible. But that's just my own psychotic fear, I think.
Well, you know, that They might have to stay up there. They might not could come back. I mean, you would think about all those things, you know?
Yeah.
Much less the splashdown, you know, like they used to do in the ocean. And those were dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they had to really watch to make sure it didn't get inverted, you know, when they hit the water.
And it was really, really cool, though, to see, I think it was Bill Shatner and Jeff Bezos. They all took off, you know, I think they were both in West Texas when they took off, which was really, really cool. I thought that was pretty, I mean, they could have gone from like Orlando or, you know, some, or Houston or, you know, some of the I guess, the NASA, you know, places that they typically shoot rockets off from. But they took off from West Texas, which I thought was pretty awesome. That was just a win anyway.
But don't you know why? It's got the climate, the dry climate. It's got the land out there. It's away from everybody. It was an easy place to assemble it, and you don't get that in Orlando and all this. All these places are so busy, you wouldn't be able to get the land that you need to do this. And they went down there and bought all that land to do this. And they say the climate's right, everything's right to lift off from space. In that part of Texas.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Really, and I would imagine probably the humidity,
cool.
You know, in Orlando and even Houston's pretty humid as well, you know. So, I mean, that probably has a factor in it, you know, but I thought it was awesome. It was fascinating how it goes up and then comes right back down and lands at the exact same place where it took off from. I thought the whole thing is just really, you know, and then you hear, you know, the story like this where, you know, the guy's, you know, shellacking the canvas to get it. It's like, look how far we've come in such a relatively short amount of time as far as, you know, air travel.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm still kind of shocked that you still have some profit left in one of those policies.
One of the other policies, yes. Well, that's only till 23. That person has got to go on and mature by 23.
Yeah.
And otherwise, it's a break even.
Yeah.
And that was our first policies that we bought. We didn't know that the people weren't exactly honest.
Yeah.
And they said, here's all these policies. You'll love them. We bought them, and we didn't love them. We found out pretty quick, after probably 4 years, that these people were not sick. They were just old.
Yeah.
And so now they're going to die of old age, and that's when everybody's going to get paid. So those two policies, we're trying and hoping every day that they'll mature. Our other policies, they are maturing every day. Well, not literally every day, but every month. We're having quite a few every month. People are getting paid. They're getting their interest. They're getting their principal back, which is a great thing.
And the other thing that new investors should know, and you kind of talked about this earlier, is that you're looking for policies, you know, at what, 30 months is about the max that you'll usually go?
Yes, I mean, that's about the maximum.
Yeah, so we're not looking at,
but
like,
I like 30
months
because you've got a lot of leeway there. That's what I always tell people. I like the 30 months better than I do the 9 or 10 months because you've got a lot of play. Even if it goes over, you've still got a lot of interest there you're going to get back.
Yeah.
And so I like that a lot. But a lot of people want the 10 months or the 18 months.
Yeah, just because of the faster turnarounds. And people, what that means is that people can invest, they get their profit, the turnaround, reinvest. And that's really how the whole thing is set up. So when you have new investors come in, I guess it's important to understand, I'm sure probably most of them do, but it's part of a process. It's not like you just come in, invest in one policy, and then boom, you're out and you retire and everything is you know, wonderful. It's part of a process. The more policies people are in, the more diversified they are, the bigger their profit. It just really depends on how engaged and fully invested people want to be, right? I mean, the ones that are fully invested, 20 policies, give or take, I guess, are the ones that are doing the best, right?
That's right. And so, you know, it's always good to have a lot of policies, and then you've always got something coming due, and you've got some interest coming in. If you've got one policy, you've got to sit there and wait for it. You don't have any room. You've got to have room to make more money.
Yeah. There are three risks, though, involved, and we always like to make sure that we cover this before we wrap things up. Even though people do have to be accredited, which we should probably mention what that is, when you hear that and you take that into consideration with the risks, they really don't seem all that bad, especially when you compare it to the stock market and other options that people have right now, the uncertainty all over the place. So first of all, what does it mean to be accredited?
To be accredited, you've got to either make $200,000 a year, or you have to have $1 million, and that's without your home. So that's real important. You must be accredited to do this. That's a government rule. It's not mine. Our minimum is $100,000 to do this. But the three risks then are, if it goes over, you're going to have to pay premium. So always know what your premium is going in, where you'll know what your exposure is. You'll know what it could cost you if it goes over. It'll also tell you on page 14, it will tell you what you're going to make, how much you've got invested. It'll say what the face amount of the policy is. If it's $1 million, it'll tell you what kind of cancer they've got. It has everything you need to know on that one page. So that's really important. The second risk is it's not cashable until it matures. In other words, you can't say, well, today I need $1 million out or $50,000 out, and I need to get that. You cannot get your money out until it matures, then you have cash. So then the third one is if a life insurance company ever went under, which, you know, we've never had that happen. The companies now are so big, you know, like $60 billion, $100 billion, and someone would buy them just, I mean, by noon.
Yeah.
So that's not a risk, really.
Yeah. And when you say, and I guess people, you know, maybe a question some new investors may have is they say, well, if I can't get it out until it matures, it's not like people are, you know, going to be stuck into this thing for, you know, 20 and 30 years. Keep in mind that you're going for, you know, 30 months max, you know, 18, 24, 30. So they usually will mature in that time frame. So people aren't, you know, I guess they're. The quick turnaround serve a number of different purposes, I guess.
Well, what I like about it is you know how long you've invested for. You know what your profit is. You know everything there is to know. We tell you everything up front. We send you the LEs. We send you, if you want the medical information, you can also get that. Most people do not ask for the medical, but they can get it and read it themselves if they want to. I think we're allowed to give it to them. I'm not sure. I know they assign it to us. All the medical about every hospital they've been in, every doctor they've seen. And I don't know if we're allowed to give that. But if somebody wanted to, I would find out if we could, because I have no problem with that.
Well, I know that you've read these things before. You've gone through like several hundred pages of medical information.
Yes,
it is a lot of stuff.
They're usually about 750 pages.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a lot of information. Is there anything that people need to do ahead of time, I guess, in order to be prepared before they come see you the first time?
Well, they need to make sure that, you know, that they are accredited, make sure that they have the money for the investment, and look at their portfolio, see what if it's coming from a 401k, we can do a rollover. It doesn't cost anything. If they've got an IRA, they can just roll over an IRA. If they want to establish a Roth, and a lot of people are switching to Roths because, you know, you have to pay the taxes now, but that's it. You don't pay taxes after that. It's tax-free, so to speak, after that. So a lot of people have a lot of things they want to do. They come over. We set it up for them. If they want to set up something for the grandchildren or their children, we can do that also.
Cool.
So
and for
it
people,
depends what they need done.
Exactly. It's really kind of tailored to whatever, you know, people's goals are and things like that. There's a number of different options. So for people to get started, they do need to come and make an appointment. And I assume you have availability this coming week.
That's right. We're busy, but we'll make appointments.
Awesome. And one last time, Faye, for people to make an appointment to come see you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Read it, go there, study our references, study about us, and then give us a call.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.